This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, following last week's revelations of the astoundingly homophobic attitudes of Rabbi Dr. Shimon Cowan, to give him his full suite of titles, Dr. Mark Baker, the director of the Australian Centre for Jewish Civilization at Monash, claimed that Monash had come out with a clear condemnation of his views. He made his personal condemnation clear. He said, I can say I regard his views as abhorrent and a betrayal of the dignity of students who fall under our primary duty of care. But he raised an issue that, you can only go so far in condemning what the rabbi has said. There's a certain limit to what you can do because you run into the issue of freedom of speech. And freedom of speech, Dr. Baker says, is the very essence of a university's mission. What are the limits of free speech? When does an idea become vilification? How do you establish if an opinion, painful and archaic as it may be, is outside the pale? Well, Dr. Mary Lou Rasmussen is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Education at Monash. She is, among other things, also, and I quote, chief investigator on a project looking at how cultural and religious differences intersect in school-based sexuality education. So this is very much up her street, so to speak. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rasmussen.
Thanks very much for having me in. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Now, let's start with your position on what the rabbi said. You're very clear that this kind of thing is a dangerous kind of thing to have said in an academic institution.
I think that it's a problem when homophobic remarks are made and there's no combating of those remarks. And I suppose I see my role here tonight as somebody with a strong interest and expertise in the area, which I don't think Rabbi Cowan has, to talk in an educated way about same-sex attracted young people in schools in Australia and around the world, which is my expertise.
Let's cut to the chase here. He adduced an awful lot of frankly shonky research and statistics that have been put out by various pressure groups in the past. But among the other things he said, and I thought probably the one that set the alarm bells ringing for me, was his endorsement of so-called reparative therapy. The idea that you can, in the American phrase, pray away the gay by joining up one of these religious organisations. That's not true, is it?
I think that there's an opinion that's been highly discredited by lots of research in different fields. And I think that I don't think there's anybody that I know who has got any credentials that I respect that would make that argument that you can pray away the gay.
Tell us about your work then, because as I said before, you're an expert in this particular field about where sexuality collides with religion in a school. What have you found?
Well, our studies in the fairly early stages, we've been out collecting data in schools in Australia and New Zealand. And I suppose one of the things I'd say is that sex education, in my experience, doesn't have a very large role in school curriculums. So there's a kind of an irony that the rabbi would pay such attention to an area of the curriculum which is an area that's often put to the side as something which isn't a central part of the curriculum.
It only takes up a very small amount of time, if indeed they bother to do much about it at all.
I think lots of young people would say that their experience of sex education is inadequate, and I think that in some schools it does get overlooked entirely. And there's also very little in the way of teacher education that focuses specifically on this topic. So it's not surprising in some ways that there's not a lot of focus, that lots of teachers, I think, feel uncomfortable teaching in this area. And part of, I think, why they feel uncomfortable is because they're worried about religious backlash. And so, I mean, part of the work that I'm trying to do is thinking about how you can talk about religion and sexuality and cultural difference as part of sexuality education and recognise that that's also, you know, a way of talking about issues that are relevant in our community.
Yeah, because I was reading a piece in one of the major national dailies the other day in which someone was writing about sex ed in their school. I think they were in Queensland, and they were saying that the sex ed they got, and this was someone who is a student there, was actually delivered by a religious group. And therefore, it wasn't so much sex ed as kind of moral ed, pushing the abstinence before marriage and all the other stuff. It wasn't.
That happens in Victoria and every other state as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are schools, some schools are basically buying people in to do sex education, and some of the people they're buying in are religious organisations to do that.
So they get two bites of the cherry. They get in, come in and do special religious instruction, and then they get to come in again and peddle their wares under the guise of sex ed. So is there any kind of national kind of, or even in individual states, is there any kind of system for making sure that certain core things are taught to children about sexuality at certain ages? Or is it all very ad hoc?
There's certainly no national statement, and never has been, on sexuality education. There are the Victorian website produced by the DECD has some excellent resources for sex education, and there's and they've also the Department of Education and Early Child
Development I think.
Mm-hmm. is very supportive of sexuality education, and they're also very supportive of the Safe Schools Coalition, mm-hmm. which the rabbi was referring to as the Homosexual Schools Coalition, I think.
Yeah, his argument was that it was teaching children homosexuality by stealth. It was getting into schools under the radar and trying to convert kids, kind of thing, which is a load of nonsense. But anyway, so have you experienced the impacts of what's happened in schools when religion takes the precedence over factual sexual education? I mean, have you observed situations where...
I've certainly engaged with a lot of research in the United States where young people experience like abstinence-based education, mm-hmm. in a lot of places, and...
Doesn't work, does it?
There's a lot of research to suggest that isn't effective in terms of pregnancy prevention, and even if young people are saying that they're enjoying the curriculum, that there is evidence to suggest that they also are less likely to use contraception and more likely to get pregnant.
Hmm. So where do we go from here as far as the rabbi is concerned? I mean, that Monash themselves did put out a statement, and I'll read it here because a couple of people have said, has the university said anything? Dr. Shimon Cowan is not employed at Monash. He holds an adjunct stroke honorary role, brackets unpaid, in his field of research expertise, which is Jewish philosophy and theology. And that's why he's listed in the staff directory. It then goes on to say, Monash University is home to freedom of expression amongst our diverse staff and student population and encourages expert academic views. However, Dr. Shimon Cowan is not commenting on behalf of the university or the Faculty of Arts, and the university does not endorse his comments. Monash University reiterates its respect for the dignity of all human beings, regardless of sexual preference. Now, a lot of people have thought that doesn't go far enough. Does it go far enough for you?
Well, I can't.
That's kind of an unfair question to ask you in some respects, but it leaves me feeling that someone's trying to wriggle out of making a firm statement there.
I think that it's an incredibly thorny area, free speech. And, I mean, it's an interesting today looking at the ALP and the way that the ALP dealt with the young man who was found to be making homophobic remarks. And he was very quickly expelled from the ALP. But Monash University isn't a political institution, it's an academic institution, and I agree with Mark Baker that, you know, freedom of speech is an incredibly important issue. There's a great essay by a scholar called Judith Butler about excitable speech, and in that essay she defends people's right to make speech that she finds abhorrent, and she makes some really good arguments about why that's the case. And I think that, you know, I suppose I hope that with the opportunity to rebut remarks like Cowan's, that we can have an exchange of ideas, and that I can also, to a certain extent, illustrate some of the holes in his argument. Like, if I can just make a couple of points about about what Cowan was trying to do. Like, I mean, one of the things he did was cite what he said was authoritative educational research about bullying. And the person that he cited, Evelyn M. Field, is somebody who isn't a doctor. She doesn't have, as far as I can find, any refereed publications to support her arguments about bullying. And she's not an expert on gay and lesbian young people, but she's like a critical person that Cowan cites in thinking about the experiences of young people and bullying.
Yeah, can I just come in there? Because I actually spoke to Evelyn Field. She wasn't available to come on the programme because she's in Tokyo at the moment. She said that she has been taken out of context and misquoted, and she never said that you could deal with bullying without raising the cause of the bullying, which was the meat of the rabbi's arguments. She said he was basing his ideas of what her ideas were on a radio interview she had done with him some time ago, but he'd obviously not looked any deeper into her work.
Well, that's very good to know, but there's also like a lot of academic research that's peer-reviewed that does make, you know, very strong arguments about the importance of actually thinking about school context, bullying and homophobia when we're actually talking and their relationship to one another. Bullying doesn't happen outside of a social context. It's reflective of school cultures.
I think for me, and I made this point to Mark Baker when I was talking to him, the thing that kind of undercuts what the rabbi said is the fact that although he's a respected academic, unquote, a lot of the, leaving aside the theological stuff, which I don't want to get into, I'm not an expert and, you know, I can't really argue theologically anyway, but a lot of the stuff that he cites as scientific backup for his theological viewpoint has been discredited for a long time. It doesn't take more than a few minutes on Google to find that out, and yet he hasn't done that. Because it confirms his prejudices, he's just chucked it in there without any checking. And that, to me, is very poor academic work.
Yeah, I think that I would agree that I think that it's a very shabby piece of academic work. And that's because of, like, I think that the sort of research that is done is entirely self-serving of a particular line of argument that is echoing.
Yeah. It's conclusions first and then make the data fit afterwards, isn't it?
That's right.
All of it.
Yep.
Well, let's hope that we have, between us and Mark and everybody else who's got into this, have rebutted the rabbi to some extent. I do understand from Mark there's an awful lot of discussion about this going on inside Monash, and I can see you nodding there. So that is happening, yes?
Yeah, it has provoked conversation, and, you know, I think, in, you know, and brought scholars together who have, like, made it clear that they are really unhappy about this sort of speech, and that we think that it needs, that like, there needs to be a public voice which says that these sorts of, you know, this sort of thinking isn't something that we agree with, and why. We really think that there should be a place for things like the Safe Schools Coalition, and we're really glad the Victorian government supports that body, and we think it's important that it continues to be supported.
So some good has come out of this.
I think so. You can say that, it's an opportunity for us to stand up and support these particular perspectives.
Well, that's very good to know.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.